something very important that we haven't mentioned on the program. It's got a little write-up here in the VFL record, so make sure you have a look at that, page 11. And it is calltoarms.com.au. It's football clubs and football people all coming together to help tackle the debilitating disease cancer. And I'm sure everyone has been touched by the disease in the country. One in two men will be diagnosed with cancer by the age of 85. So, having a look at it between me and you, Jim, you're back in the studio. It's one of us here.
Yeah, fingers crossed it's you.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, but, I've already been touched by cancer once with my mother dying of it. So,
well, every man can help fight back against cancer. And one of the great initiatives is Call to Arms, which was focused between the Melbourne-Essendon game. You've probably seen Melbourne and Essendon, they had a yellow band around their jumpers. Yep. So get in there, get involved. More than 880 sporting clubs across Australia have joined the Call to Arms, including VFL clubs, AFL clubs. And so it's important that that everyone jumps on board. They're still accepting registrations. It is for the month of July, so get on board if you can. That's calltoarms.com.au and start fundraising and using different initiatives to try and raise some important funds that the games, the yellow armbands that have been sold have raised more than $24,000. So now the fundraiser for the VFL will be the Sandringham Williamstown game on Sunday, July 26, which will be a fundraiser for the Les 20 men and his 20th man homeless and families in distress charity. So make sure you get involved. Every registered club will get a champion's kit for everything they need to host a successful Calls to Arms event. So for more information, as I said, calltoarms.com.au. That's calltoarms.com.au. Or you can also call a 1300 number, 1300 656585. Very important that everyone gets involved, and especially some of the junior football clubs, Brycey. So we might have to get you to plug that on your footy show as well. Do we have our next guest ready to go?
We have a very important guest now, Gerard Fitzgerald. Good morning, Gerard.
Good morning, Jim. Morning, Kane.
Yeah, morning, Gerard.
Well done on the Call to Arms promotion. It's a great thing about sport generally, I believe, that sport plays a role and clubs play a role and associations and competitions play a role in promoting some fantastic concepts. And I think you all know, and we often talk about, for example, in Ballarat, at North Ballarat, we have a gold coin donation, and we offer up our home games to local charities, and there's been thousands and thousands of dollars raised on the gate and, you know, selling raffles and things to promote a charity. And I think it's a great thing that sporting clubs are trying to do, and the Call to Arms is a wonderful, wonderful concept.
Well, you mentioned the Roosters, and we've talked about it on the program, just how important the community aspect is with your football club and doing those promotions. The Call to Arms, obviously, it does touch everybody. It's a pretty sad statistic when you think one in two men will contract cancer by the age of 85. So anybody looking to get involved, it is a wonderful thing to get behind.
Yeah. Yeah. And also even to highlight the men's health issue, Kane, generally. I know a lot of us are not great at going to the doctor, are we? But we just need to start to realise that there's some other responsibilities in our lives that we need to try and keep an eye on our own health. And so well done for promoting it.
Now, Gerard, the Roosters had the bye the previous week and then travelled to the Box Hill Hawks. And the final quarter fade out there, a little bit disappointing on your return from after the bye.
Yeah, our final quarters haven't been that good overall, and I'm not sure why. Our indicators over the summer period were quite good with our physical assessments. All of those things that you measure, your skin folds, etc., seems like we're okay, but it's an issue which we've got to address. We've got time to address that, but we're not happy with our last quarters generally, and thought Box Hill were very, very good in the last quarter and outplayed us.
Did you notice anything at three-quarter time that may have been the boys were under some pressure? And I mean, Box Hill have traditionally finished off their games pretty well this year, and travelling to Box Hill City Oval is always a hard task at VFL, especially when they're playing such good football. Did you just put it down to just one of those things where Box Hill just kind of jumped you in that last quarter and just had the momentum to finish off the game at home?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's hard, and I think sometimes the opposition coach perhaps speaks without any real knowledge of what the opposition are doing deep within. We've got to be a bit careful. I thought Box Hill were good, and I thought they played the conditions better than My Blacks. I thought that our two quarters with the Breeze were the ones that weren't good enough, and that could well have been because Box Hill's ability to defend was very good. Almost our best quarter was our second quarter into the Breeze, where we kicked four goals and got ourselves a 22 or so point lead at half time. And I think there was a degree of thought within my group that maybe we just roll out there in the third quarter and get out to a 6 or 7 goal lead and have the game safe. And we ended up losing ground in the third quarter and didn't have enough to hang on.
Well, the bye, how do you see that affecting teams? Obviously, some teams need the bye to rest, and I thought that just being in your position, a bye any time of the week wouldn't really affect the run of the Roosters, but bouncing back out of it, how the boys regroup this week after, I guess it is a shock loss to Box Hill last weekend and now focusing on the Bull Ants?
I suppose I've been in the competition a long time, Kane, and I don't see a loss like that as a shock loss. If you look at Box Hill's form at home, it's been outstanding. I think they've won every game there at home except one. Fully aligned VFL, AFL aligned sides can vary according to supply of players and the quality of players from the AFL partner. I think that this competition, I think if you look at it at the moment, there's really only one or two sides that probably will have given up the hope of playing in the finals, I'd have thought. So it's very, very even, and if Coburg had won on the weekend, people would have said, well, hang on, was that expected or whatever? So I'd be a bit careful about shock losses or whatever, but I think you need to play well week in, week out, and I think that's going to be the demand as the second half of the year unfolds.
Well, I mean, like, looking at some of the better players listed here in the record from last week, you know, Roach, Goods, Clifton and Sewell, they're some of your prime movers. So to have them in your best and still lose, it must have been a strong performance by the Box Hill Hawks, as you've mentioned. So it's not so much a form thing, just I guess the opposition really did. Kicking 5-1 in that final quarter, I guess, was a bit more of a shock when you're looking through the results this weekend.
Oh, I tell you, look at the score. Yeah, and that's right. But from an analysis of the game, Box Hill had 404 or 5 possessions. That's according to our measurements. We had 316.
Yep.
Now, I think we went inside our 50-40 four times. We had Box Hill going in excess of 50. You can't win a game like that, Kane, just regardless of who you're playing. We just thought the opposition were better than us, and I think they're a pretty good side.
Well, with the Seagulls winning last weekend, and they still have to face the bye in the run home, they've put themselves a game clear. I know you're an astute judge of the competition, and you've mentioned just how even it is. Focusing on the ladder position at this time of the year probably isn't a major focus, but there's something special about being on top of the ladder.
Well, quite a few of us have always said we need to have an incentive to finish higher on the ladder. First should obviously be able to play a home final. And if you're good enough to finish second and play third, well, you should have the right to have a home final. Now, obviously, there are other issues that come into that with the television, etc. But I think that the incentive to finish as high on the ladder as you can, play as well as you can, but if you can get a home final, I think that's an incentive for trying to work hard all year to get yourself in a good spot.
Now, the Bull Ants have a pretty good record against the Roosters in recent times, so they have been a team that have managed to, I guess, have the wood over you in recent victories, though. So coming down to Visy Park, where I've seen some good performances, you could have the line against the Pies with that Cameron Richardson shot on goal towards the end of the game. It's a big ground, and it's one of the better grounds to play VFL football on. So
yeah, it's a fantastic ground to play VFL footy on, and one that I think I've often said this to both yourself and Jim, that we need to have some sort of a home for VFL footy, and it would be great if Optus Oval can be done up and viable enough for us to have a home for the VFL footy and the TAC Cup competition, because obviously we're not going to get access to Docklands and the MCG on a home and away basis, so it'd be great to be able to play a lot of games regularly at Optus Oval because of the quality of the ground. We haven't played the Northern Bull Ants ever at Optus Oval, so it's a bit of a new era, that one.
Well, having, do you change your structures when you know you're playing at Optus Oval? Does that change anything for you? I mean, you've got such an experienced brigade. They love the open spaces of it. And, you know, even a player like Jacob Spalding seems to find himself in pockets at Optus Oval. So players are really... One thing that I think North Ballarat play very well is the open spaces and the fluent ball movement off the half-back flank on those grounds. Do you change your structures at all going into Visi Park or just another game, just look at the opposition?
No, you probably... Look, if you have a chance where you might be able to bring a quicker player in, if you think that quicker player is in form and that can, you think that can have an influence on you, you would do that. As much as you would in our own massive big ground. So I think that you would reinforce how you try and prepare your team to play on big grounds, because ultimately that's where you're going to be able to be at your best. So I think it's a bit of a reinforcement kind of how you play best on the bigger spaces probably is what you attend to on the day. And if you can, you might try and bring in a quicker player or two.
Okay. Now... Talking of looking at the list and structures going into the game, the 23rd player rule has been utilised very well by clubs, and a lot of the young kids coming in and having their shot are having an impact. We've seen some really good performances by some of the bigger-bodied kids as well, which I thought may have struggled. Bill Johnson, I think, for Sandringham has been fantastic up against some bigger-bodied opponents playing out of position. I've noticed young Tate is the player here selected for North Ballarat. Something you can tell us about him and how his development's been going since being given the opportunity to play at the higher level?
Yeah, we've just generically, it's a wonderful rule, and full marks to John Hook and Swabby and AFL Victoria, because it's, I think, if you ask a lot of people, Kane, it's just one of those rules that's come in, and people just said, what a great idea, what a great innovation, and good rules come in like that. It's usually good people thinking strategically behind the scenes, which have been a part of the rule. We've gone a slightly different way to some clubs, Kane, and we're Phil Partington, the region manager for our Rebels, and we've got a wonderful relationship with the Rebels, as you know, in the fully integrated model at North Ballarat. Phil's of the view that he would like to push up as many players as he thinks would benefit from a game, rather than just leaving it to just one or two or, you know, not many players. So we've used a different player in every game.
Okay.
And Oliver Tate now is I think probably our fourth one.
Okay.
He's a very athletic player, has done well in the TAC Cup competition, and Phil's of a view that if he can do as well as the other boys that have played with us, it'll just help him really push up, as we call, on the radar of the recruiters, and just add another dimension to the capacity of the boy by playing in the VFL. It's a great rule. He's an athletic player who'll play across halfback, through the midfield, probably outside more than inside at this stage, but athletic running type player, good player.
Well, having that flexibility, I guess, at the selection table, does that change in terms of who you need, maybe a bigger bodied against some opponents, or you're looking for a midfielder type? Do you and Phil sit down and talk about who the Roosters need, or is it more about just the young players' development and who's ready to go at this week's time?
No, we largely leave it to Phil. He knows a lot about the Rooster system anyway and the VFL, and I think the first criteria we have really, Kane, is that we say, right, which player is doing well enough in the TAC Cup and who would benefit most from a game in the VFL. That's the sort of criteria. And then we just work in with him straight away and not get too worried about the position or whatever. They'll get 40-plus, 50%-plus game time, possibly more, depending on how their body's handling, etc. We'll find a spot for them and an opportunity and a role to play.
Well, you mentioned the pastoral alignment, going up against a team that's fully aligned. We'll talk about the Bull Ants in just a moment, but the Kangaroos have faced many concerns at the injury table with a lot of their senior players this year, putting a lot of pressure back on yourselves and also the Tigers. Werribee have managed to give 10 players an opportunity of playing senior level football this year. Notice a couple of new names in the North Ballarat lineup. It really does test your depth when you're pastoring a line for starters, and then you have the injuries to come on top of that, because you can be really restricted when it comes down to choosing your final 22.
Yeah, but it's what I've said all along, Kane, that you to be in a an alignment, whether it's a full alignment or a partial alignment, both clubs have got to do well out of the relationship. And it's important, I believe, that the VFL club still has a very strong club within its own right, that it's that it can't be reliant on the AFL partner. It needs to be able to have a good, strong VFL list and work hard to, A, attract quality players onto their list, and B, retain them. And that's what we're trying to do within the very, very positive partial alignment that we have with North Melbourne. And that's our particular model, and that's the one that we want to develop fully.
Well, looking at your opposition this afternoon, their fortune has gone up and down and all around in season 2009, the Northern Bull Ants, and a lot of their pressures come from what players are being changed. We've seen Brett Ratten, the Carlton senior coach, bring in four or five changes at a time, which definitely does affect the structures and whether players are in form or not at VFL level. How do you, I know you like to study the videos, Jared, you would have seen some of the best of Northern Bull Ants and some games where you would have thought they could have performed better. How do you try and structure that differently against a team like the Northern Bull Ants, who rely so heavily on their Carlton alignment performing well at this level?
Oh, then it's how you'd analyse any game, really, Kane. You just work out who you think their most influential players are and then not worry about any more other than what you can do about that. Perhaps have a look at your matchups, instruct your players on the type of method that you think is going to be the base or core method of the Bull Ants, and again, what you might be able to do about that that you've got control over and can influence. So I think your general philosophy and how you deal with the opposition isn't going to change that much given those broad parameters that you'd be working on.
Jared McCorkle, former Rooster, back in the competition.
Player.
He's a great player.
Terrific. He's a member of a very good sporting family, actually, and the McCorkles in our region have done well. And to have the quality of the career that that boy has had at state league level is a credit to his ability to play footy.
Where do you see the strengths of the Roosters up against your opposition tomorrow afternoon at Visy Park?
Strength of my fellow side?
Yeah, of your side.
We think that overall we've been obviously murdered in round one and beaten quite comprehensively in the last quarter last week. So our two losses suggest that we've still got plenty to work on. The thing that we find that we think that the opposition is allowed just a bit too much ball against us. When you look at the overall where we sit right now, mid-year, roughly, we would like to think, even though we're quite reasonably sound defensively, we think that the opposition is still getting a bit too much ball, Kane. And we're just taking a little bit too long to either minimise the opposition's ball use or get the ball back off them. And that's something that we want to do a bit better at. We're probably around the mark, top part of maybe the top part of the middle of the rung about offensively. So another couple of goals a game would be something that we would be searching for. So I guess it goes back to also kind of what your own measurements are. And I know some people get a bit frustrated with footy coaches, and I'd like our listening public to understand that key performance indicators are really in any real organisation. And a footy club is an organisation. But what it does is help you measure above and beyond what the scoreboard can produce. And that's crucial to how you coach your side. So we all have our own KPIs. They're not just a throwaway cliche. They're used extensively. And some of our own internal measurements, we know we can improve on, Kane, and that's what we've got to get right.
Well, just our final question for the morning, Jared. We thank you for giving up the time, as always. Eureka Stadium, how is it? Is it up and firing and what you expected?
It's going to be an absolutely beautiful facility, and the fact that there's been a massive amount of cooperation between a number of bodies, which has been really pleasing, Kane. The funding that's gone in is up to around about $1 million in the partnerships. It's going to be one of the great surfaces in the VFL competition, I can assure our listeners of that. The cricket pitch has been relocated to the number 2 oval, and it's going to be a high quality oval for A-grade cricket in Ballarat and local sport generally in footy. Eureka Stadium is going to be a footy-only facility. that can be used outside of footy for other types of sports. As it begins to settle, clubs will see one of the great playing stadiums in the competition.
Well, Jared, thank you so much for giving up your time. It's good to have a chat with you again. And good luck against the Northern Bulllands tomorrow afternoon. It could be shaping up as one of the games of the season if the Bulllands come out to play. So we wish you all the best, and good luck for the rest of the season.
All the best, Jim. Good talking about you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Jared Fitzgerald, the North Ballarat coach, joining us on the Saturday morning program. Talk to him forever sometimes, Jim, isn't it? He's an astute coach of the game.
We should have started talking to him about 8 o'clock this morning.
Well, yeah, definitely. And I was right about the Bulllands having a pretty good record against North Ballarat, wasn't I? I was hoping you were going to jump in.
Yeah, 7-4 in recent times. And 7 in a row to the Bulllands.
Why didn't you jump in? Because I didn't have the stats in front of me.
Oh, you should have asked one. You should have said, Jim, back me up on this.
Yeah, we'll save that for Sunday's broadcast. But quickly, we've only got 7 minutes to get through the round 14 preview. Last weekend we did cut into the Dandong Junior Footy League show.
And they appreciated it too.
Oh, it's the best bit of their show when we cut in. It's the only good three minutes
of
their show.
We get them off to a good
start. Yeah, exactly.
Geelong versus Coburg Tigers.
Geelong sitting with 6-6, same as the Coburg Tigers. Last time they played was in 2009, round 2 at ABD Group Stadium. The Coburg team were on fire that day. 27 goals, 16-178. Defeated the Cats 16-8-104.
Yeah, they've scored the 27-16 twice in the last three games against
When was the last time Geelong actually beat Coburg, Jim?
2007 preliminary premiers grand final. Geelong were victorious on that day. Since then, they haven't troubled the Coburg Tigers. They've been absolutely brilliant. But I think that bubble might burst. Interestingly, the average score for these two teams over 11 game period is both of them are on 16-13-109 with only a goal difference over the entire 11 games.
So it's going to be tight. Who's your tip?
I personally think Coburg, but I've got a feeling Geelong might sneak in this one. It's a 10:40 start, so yeah, at Skilled Stadium.
And with Jeremy Laidlaw and Tom Gillies returning to that Cats defence after a shot in the AFL, and Mark Blake will come back for the VFL to try and get some form. I think the Cats will be too strong for Coburg, who have been disappointing.
Yeah, the funny thing is they don't need big players.
It's an 8-point game for Geelong.
If they both on 6-6.
Yeah, if they can win, it can put them into the top four even. Collingwood, 7-5. Casey Scorpions, 7-5. The last time these two teams played was round 20 in 2008, which was at Fizzy Park, and the Scorpions won by 10 goals. Casey Scorpions, 15-14-104, defeated Collingwood, 7-2-44. This is the ABC game. Who's your tip?
Just the twice they've played each other. Collingwood have lost both games, or Casey have won both games, depending on how you look at it. Interestingly, 5 goals, 6 is the average score for Collingwood, so they've got a lot of improvement to do, which is what they've been doing this year. They've improved out of sight, and I think Casey should win. They're in blistering form, although against the two bottom teams. But, winning form is good form, and with a little bit of luck for Casey, they should beat Collingwood at Trevor Barker Oval.
Yeah, I think Casey, well, you can't tip against them after a defeating the two bottom teams by 210 points. They're in really good form. Yeah, Valenti returns home to play at Sandringham, not against the Zebras. So
yeah, I'm a bit worried that that might be a bit of a smoke screen, that one, that 200-plus win in the last 2 weeks.
Our broadcast game this afternoon will be live from TIAC Oval. I think it's the first time we've been to TIAC Oval all year.
It is. We haven't been there this year. We were going once, but they changed it to an ABC game. We had an alternative, so we went to the other game.
Port Melbourne, 8-3 against the Bendigo Bombers, the hapless Bendigo Bombers. Yet to win a game, they're 0-11. Last time they played was round 13 at 2008, and it was Port Melbourne, 23 goals, 12-150, defeating the Bendigo Bombers, 8-17-65. That was at TIAC Oval. Tune in from 1 o'clock for our broadcast of this game. Just a two-word tip there, please, Jim.
Port Melbourne should win very comfortably. They've won the last two. It's 4 all over 8 games. And, I don't think Bendigo can actually make an improvement on that 4-4. I think that that just goes how good they were in the past.
I'm going to start giving you a wrap-up here.
Yep, William Stanbox Hill.
We've only got 4 minutes to go. And One team have defeated Williamstown at home this year. It was the Seagulls. It was the North Burler at side. They won by 2 points. Williamstown have been doing enough to win at home. Last time these two teams played was in round 19, 2008, at the Box Hill City Oval. Williamstown, 19-16, 130. Defeated Box Hill, 14-11, 95. Live on 3WBC, 94.1 FM, if you're in the eastern suburbs. Different teams than last time they played in 2008, Williamstown versus the Box Hill Hawks.
Williamstown 8-4 over Box Hill. There's one team I haven't been able to pick right this year, and that's Box Hill. And I'm going for Williamstown, but don't be surprised if Box Hill wins.
Another game is on Sunday afternoon is Frankston versus Werribee, and Frankston have the results of 1-11 versus Werribee, which are 4-8. Last time they played was at Chernside Park, round 14, 2008, and it was Werribee 16-12, 108, defeating Frankston 15-13, 103.
I don't think Frankston or Werribee can win this game, so who's not going to lose? Probably Werribee.
Werribee weren't that bad last week at all, and they're going to come out and
comprehensively
they
put up a good effort. Yeah, they put up a good effort against Port Melbourne, but
that form will be good enough to beat Frankston.
Yeah, but it's very, very tough to pick a team that struggles to win. Fortunately, they're playing Frankston, who's also struggling to win this year.
Werribee only one game out of finals contention.
Yep, and that's why they have to win this game.
Northern Bullant 6-5 defeat versus North Ballarat 9-2. The Bullant's coming off the bye this week. North Ballarat came out of the bye last week. It will be broadcast on KC Radio live from 1 o'clock. Last time they played was up at Eureka Stadium, and the Bullants won again. They've won the last seven games in a row, as Jim mentioned. The Bullants 7-8-50 defeated the Roosters 5-12-42.
North Ballarat haven't scored a century against the Bullants since round 2, 2004, when they scored 17-15-117. In that time, they've averaged just a paltry 10 goals, 10-70.
Well, Andrew Walker is set to return for the Bullants this afternoon, returning from injury. So some star-studded names appearing in the Northern Bullants lineup. Yep. Stevens and Mitch Robinson returning from suspension.
That could be the reason why the Bullants extend their winning streak to 8.
The Roosters will win by 3 or 4 goals, Jim. Sandringham will have the bye. So just to confirm, this afternoon, Port Melbourne versus the Bendigo Bombers live from 1 o'clock. And tomorrow afternoon, with the game we just mentioned, the Bullants versus the Roosters, all on KC Radio 97.7 FM, your true home of the VFL. And if you're listening online, you're on 3ser.org.au, or you've clicked on the link from vflfooty.com. Well, that wraps up the round 14 edition of the Saturday Morning VFL Football Show, Jim. The light's still flickering in here.
It's
been a nightclub atmosphere, and we'll rock on our way out to TAC Oval. So make sure you join us from 1 o'clock this afternoon. Got nothing else to say?
Nope, that's it. See you this afternoon.
Siren.